Welcome to Cole Sports. You have entered the zone called sports on another level. And now, here's your host, Cole Johnson.
Cole Sports! I am that man, your man, the illustrious tour guide Cole Johnson is back to give you yet another in the analyst series for the month of July. And this gentleman here, what a voice. Doesn't matter. I can throw whatever it is at him and he'll come back with some really good content and information right back at me. Co-host of Chopping Up with Q. Co-host of Talking 30. But he also is the co-founder of the Critical Dump Network. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Quentin Simpson, otherwise known as Q. This is what he had to say. So you said you wanted to play ball. What position did you, well, I'm sorry, what sport did you play?
Football. Yeah. I grew up playing football. I was too short to play basketball, but I enjoyed playing, you know, out in the streets, but I wasn't about to get out there, you know, 5'7", 5'8". That's not the business. But so I just stuck with football.
Well, see, now you're disappointing Isaiah Thomas now. I mean, he's 5'9" and could play. Although he says he wants to be 6'5" and if he were, he would be the best player on the planet. But that's a tangent on a whole different realm.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's cool and all, but let's just be honest. You know, with basketball, because you even had Nate Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
He played, and he could jump out the gym, but you are a defensive liability if you have to get out there and defend a 6'5" guard. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. I mean, the picture of Michael Jordan abusing Muggsy Bogues in the post.
That's not even fair, man. Come on.
It's a lasting image. So, yeah, I almost got ahead of myself. So I actually had to say that. The sport you played was football. In what position on the gridiron did you play?
Oh, well, you know, I had to play the short man's position. So I was a running back for most of my career. I did play slot receiver a brief moment. I didn't like playing receiver because quarterbacks had their favorite targets. So, you know, mm-hmm. They only threw to their friends, especially in high school. They only throw to their friends. Yeah. So, and then there was a brief moment my coach tried to get me to play outside linebacker until he told me I had to fill the gap for incoming fullback. And I said, yeah, it's not happening, bro. I'm good. Don't worry about it.
So you had hands, obviously. So that's why you were on offense still?
Yeah. I mean, I was cocky. So I enjoyed offense more than defense. I could play defense, but I enjoyed having, you know, the ball in my hands, juking somebody, maybe get to run someone over. It was just more fun.
Yeah. The reason why I say that is normally if you are height challenged in football and you don't have a pair of hands, the place you go is corner. So I was surprised that you say cornerback.
It was listed. I didn't actually play it though. So, okay. I mean, but you know, in my high school, you had to have a defensive and offensive position. So,
right.
On offense, I was a tailback. On defense, I was listed as a corner.
Okay. All right. So you officially were listed as a corner. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So did you have pro aspirations being at tailback, or did you figure at college that this would be the end of the line for you?
Honestly, I just wanted to play in college. I think if somehow it would have turned to me playing in pro, I would have been like, okay, I'll put in a good 2-3 years here, get the money and bounce. But because, I mean, I also looked at it like, you know, I was even in the heaviest, I was at like 190. So I've kind of figured, you know, 190, even though Barry Sanders was was the GOAT to me, and that was the player I modeled my game after. Mm. There's a point where it's like, yeah, I don't know how much punishment I can take. But also, even in statistically, smaller backs tend to play longer, I guess, because you know you aren't the biggest guy on the field, so you're going to kind of reduce the amount of collision and hits you take.
Yeah. Because if I'm not mistaken, the average shelf life of a running back in the NFL is 4.5 years. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Which, even though they're not my team, if Houston say, hey, we need a kick returner, I'll go out there and run a few back for a year.
All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, NFL teams, you hear that. You hear it first. Q wants to be the Human Joystick 2.0. There you go. There you go.
I feel like I don't know anybody that wouldn't take the league minimum for one season.
Yeah, I take the league minimum. I said, look, I'll be a backup left guard. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't have to do a glamorous position. I don't need the ball.
Yeah. What you say? You just want me to show a good example? Get the offense a good test? Okay, cool.
Right. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's funny. All right. So you said you graduated from Lamar University?
Yes, I did.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Back in 2011, which I actually tried to play at Lamar, but I don't know. I think you played college before, considering, but you know, eligibility came into play. So by that time I was going to reach my fifth year of being out of high school.
Right.
And then after that, I would have to go through the whole process of maybe potentially getting an extension, but then I had to show some type of hardship on why. And, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, ship sailed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally, totally get that feeling. Off air, we talked a little bit about your feelings on Kevin Durant, and we talked about one event where we're celebrating this month's 1 year anniversary. Here's another event where we're celebrating the 1 year anniversary of. So, of course, I think it was the day after Independence Day, Kevin Durant signs with the Warriors coming off of OKC. Mm-hmm. And of course, last month he has won his first chip. And you brought forth to me another interesting topic of how to look at Kevin Durant. And I was thinking this myself. The goal of free agency is to make sure that you put yourself in the best position possible. Now, we both have been in athletics. I fully get the understanding of you want to beat the king because you want to have his crown. I get that understanding fully, 100%.
Yes.
I totally get that. But on the flip side, when we have these conversations, when we have these GOAT conversations, one of the first things that come up are rings.
Yes.
And if we don't think these athletes aren't rabbit-eared, you can see definitely basketball. You can see in the free agent market that they hear this. They want to be great. And if in our eyes they can be great, they got to pursue the rings. So if Durant thought, okay, well, the best chance for me to get a ring is to saddle up with a team that won 73 and we came within 4 minutes of beating, but we didn't. Okay, fine. I'll hop on that train. But man, the lambasting and the bashing that he received from that move is absolutely funny to me, because here was years ago when people were saying similar things about LeBron James and his move, and they tried to compare it. And I'm like, it's no comparison. They're two different moves.
Yeah.
Two different moves entirely. And to me, I think there was underlying circumstances with Durant. It was more along the lines of, look, Westbrook can cook, no question. Of course, he got his MVP. Yeah, he can cook. True. But I want to play a basketball style that's more befitting of me. And I can't really do this with Westbrook. But this team out in the Bay, I could probably do that with them. And I don't think he really saw record, in my opinion. I think he just saw play and like, okay, the biggest star there, he's very unselfish. The guy that's the heart of the team, he's unselfish. He may be a bit of a big mouth and sometimes stupid, but he's okay. And their third score, and their second leading score, he's more stealth than Scottie Pippen was with the Bulls. So I'm thinking, okay, this might work. I might be able to do something with this team, fit in, and not even have them go off of their roles. And so he wins his chip, and people still are losing their minds about that move. So what was your take? Because you had a good take on loyalty, as with Kevin Durant.
Here's my thing. People aren't even loyal to their jobs. And this, professional athletes are working a job. I understand that you see them and you see them as entertainment-wise and so on and so forth. And that's cool. But regardless of how you feel about it as a fan, that is still their job and their craft and so on and so forth. So the question would be, I'll ask anybody, if you had the opportunity to leave your current situation and either take a job that's either going to pay more money, because people get on them if you leave for more money as well, or take a slight cut to go to a thriving company. I don't know anybody who would do that, but I mean, that's just basically what it is. So the thing is, you want to get mad at Durant, but you'll then say, oh, you can only be great if you win all the rings, which even then I'll say in that case, Bill Russell's the greatest basketball player of all time because he has the most rings. Is that applicable? That's what you're saying. That's what people are saying. Eli Manning is greater than Dan Marino based on rings. So it's like when people, because it's hard to really talk about who's the greatest. And I look at it different. Some people may not. But so he's looking at that. And then, of course, he's still young. He's like, well, I made money in OKC. I don't know if we can be able to afford to get the firepower to deal with this particular team. And I want a ring. So if they have the space to take me, I'll go. So I don't know what to tell fans. I'd say, look, fans, stop taking all that to heart, man. You don't own these guys. They can go wherever they want to go.
Yeah, they can do what they want. That is what free agency is about.
Exactly.
you know, he was free to go wherever he wants.
Yeah, but I'm like, but we've been loyal. I said, most people, okay, here's the thing. Like you said, when I talked on loyalty earlier, I said, if you're working your job at, I don't know, let's just name a random place, Walmart. Let's say you're working at Walmart. But then Target come to you and say, hey, we'll give you X amount of dollars more to switch over here. Are you going to say, no, I'm loyal to Walmart. How dare you come? No, you're not.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I'll use this example. So I guess if Durant's going to take that type of heat, well, Skip Bayless should take that same heat, too, because last year he was offered $3 million by ESPN, but Fox Sports 1 offered him $5 million. So what was he supposed to say? You know what? I've been on ESPN for 12 years, actually longer than 12 years. I've had First Take / Cold Pizza for 12 years. I am the signature person on this show. I'm going to ride it out until the wheels fall off. If you were to have that heard, you would actually say to this person, yes, I'm saying you in general, you would actually say to that person, Skip is a fool. Because if that were me, I would not turn down doing the same thing, being paid $2 million a year. I wouldn't do it. Yeah. Well, then why are you hating on Durant for doing pretty much the exact same thing? It helps his life out. More power to him. Yeah, the competitor to me would say.
I get out of Oklahoma City.
Yeah. I was like, the competitor to me says, okay, well, did you really have to go to the Bay? But the realist in me says, hey, he made a move that was best for his brand, best for his family, best for his pocketbook, because he ended up pocketing almost $30 million a year. I mean, I can't help that but say, you know what? I hope things go well for you, homie. And if you get success and you get that ring along with it, even all the better.
Yes. I don't knock any ass. That's like when people got mad at, what was the guy? He used to play. He plays for us now. That's a shame. But he was a running back for Dallas at first. And then when he went to Philly.
DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray. People got mad at him. He's like, oh, he only went for the money. Yeah, right. So?
Exactly.
especially as a running back, you don't get that opportunity to get that max contract.
Look, the Not Cowboys so weren't going to pay him. Yeah, the Cowboys weren't going to pay him.
Hey, so I'm like, so you want this man to take a pay cut because you feel that's what he should do.
Right.
And then afterwards, I'm no longer loyal to you because right. You didn't do what I wanted you to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the logic excites me too. I'm like, okay, look, you're putting your fandom hat on. You're not putting the realist hat on. Look, it blows my mind how people are burning the Kevin Durant jerseys and calling him a traitor and all that type of stuff. I'm like, no.
You remember no. They did that to LeBron, and then they welcomed back with open arms. That's insanity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Burning all his jerseys in the effigy in 2010 and in 2014 saying, you know what? Let me patch that burnt jersey up. I'm going to be all about LeBron again. Yeah. Come on,
man. That sounds like that's an abusive relationship. That's what it is, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to burn your stuff, but I'm sorry. Come on back. You can come back anytime. And that's why I don't know. I don't understand fans at times, but you know, I get it. Emotions.
Yeah. Well, hey. Well, fan is short for fanatic. So I totally get the understanding of it. To try to understand the logic of a fan. No, it would drive both you and me crazy, man. No, yeah. I will try not to do that. I will refuse that. We'll never do that. So I'll just know, okay, their logic is going to be backwards at times. And with this, it's completely backwards. And you're one of the first people I've ever heard that described Kevin Durant perfectly in his stint with Golden State leaving OKC.
I mean, I get it. But then, you know, I always used to tell people like this. I said, super teams have always existed in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I said, and I always used to use like 90s NBA. I said, in the 90s, four teams won titles. And only reason I say four is because I'm going to count the Pistons in 90, 89, 90.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I said, but other than that, you had the Bulls with, what, 91 to 94, then, or 91 to 93. Then you had Houston, 94, 95. Then you had the Bulls, 96 to 98. Then you had the Spurs.
Right.
So like, even if you look at football, what, Dallas, San Francisco, the Steelers, even now, you look at New England.
Mm-hmm.
New England has won, what, five championships in the last, what, since 2003?
Yeah, five last 16 years, starting in the 2001 season, yeah.
2001, okay, there we go. So my thing is, like, you've always had specific teams who are always good, and then everybody else is, they exist.
Yeah. And I laugh at all of the, I laugh at all that talk too, because I'm saying, okay, so you all are upset about super teams, and you all are saying that super teams are ruining the league. Well, where were you 30 years ago when the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Pistons all were super teams? You weren't crying the league is being killed then. You all were wanting more of it.
Yes.
You all were like, give me this action. I'm not even a fan of any of these teams, but man, when they go at it, when the Pistons and Lakers go at it, the Pistons and Celtics go at it, and the Celtics and Lakers go at it, I want to see more of that.
Exactly. I said, what about when the Yankees used to buy their championships? Every time there's a star player, oh, you know he's going to the Yankees next year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Foregone conclusion.
You had, at the time, you had two of the best shortstops on the team at one time, which was Derek Jeter and A-Rod.
Right.
You pull A-Rod from Texas, who could have pulled in more money. Well, actually, could have pulled in more money. But you pull A-Rod from Texas and say, you know what? We know you're a good shortstop, but you're going to play third base this time. And we'll pay you $200-something million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark Teixeira was good at Texas the right year. Oh, okay. Yay. Oh, yeah. Yankees. Hey, come on over. Yeah, come this way.
Right.
So
it's funny to me. The talk is hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious. Yeah. I'm with you on the loyalty thing, man. Look, that ship is long since sailed. This isn't the 50s where you didn't have free agency. 60s even. You know, you didn't have free agency run rampant as much as you do now. You know, it's all about if I can put myself in a more advantageous position. Wow. Just like regular life. Then I'm going to do what is best for me and my family. I mean, why should athletes be any different than you and me? I mean, it shouldn't be. But I think it's hilarious that as fans, we place this unrealistic expectation on athletes that once you put on the jersey of one team, you should be all about that one team all throughout your career. And look, if the price is right and the situation is right, fine.
Yes.
More often than not, it's not.
and then, you know, those days are long gone. I'm sorry. Like, I think even you're not the last person to play for one whole team their whole season, I think, will have to be Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be the last one because the players have gotten so much more freedom, which I applaud. I'm like, look, if they can go to one team, if they can go wherever they want to go and that team can afford them, hey, okay. I look at it. That's how I look at it. Because the thing is like there isn't any equality amongst a lot of teams either, because you got some guys who they can't draft well. They won't be able to get those big free agent signings. Like, I guess you could say that one of the youngest super teams that'll probably be out there if they actually get it all together will be Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got Jimmy Butler, and we don't know how that's going to end up, but you know. But then again, it's like, you know, if you're a free agent, who chooses Minnesota to go to of all places?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to go to Sacramento?
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to Milwaukee. It's like, who goes there?
Thinking about Sacramento, I remember Vlade Divac, the GM there, saying that, we're going to be a playoff team in 2 years when they let go of DeMarcus Cousins. I said, okay, I want to see this trick turned, because he said, if that didn't happen in 2 years, I'll hand him a pink slip. I said, well, I guess you might as well get started on writing your pink slip, because in the 2 years, your team's going to be exactly where it is now.
I start looking for another job. But I was like, the last time Sacramento had a shot was in 02.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Yeah, when they hosted Game 7 of the West Conference Finals against the Shaq and Kobe-led Lakers. That was the last time. That's the last time the Kings had their best shot.
Which I still say they got cheated out that game. But
I'm going to have you on back so I can actually talk about the 2002 West Conference Finals Game 7. Because that, yeah, that's a topic I would love to discuss further with you. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I was just agreeing with you. Yeah, I'll come back because I got a lot to say on that one. That, as a matter of fact, 2002 was very suspect because that was 2001. I'll give you. Okay, so yeah, that 2001, 2002 seasons were weird because even then, that's also when New England cheated themselves to their first Super Bowl in 2001.
Well, that Super Bowl was in January 2002. Yeah.
Yeah. So the quote unquote Tuck rule that nobody knew existed.
Right. Right. Yeah. That. It happened. Yeah. It happened that January. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the same calendar. It's the same calendar year. Yes.
Yeah. Cheated my man Charles Woodson out his first Super Bowl, but he finally got one, so it's cool.
See? Yeah. It took him 8 years, but he still got it. He still got his ring. 9 years, yeah. I'm sorry. But he still got his ring. I'm happy for him because, yeah, great player. Many thanks to Q for wonderful takes. I appreciate the way he looks at life. And you can check out this interview in its totality on Revelations. You'll find that on shows.pipa.io/revelations. Join that, and you will be really thoroughly entertained. That interview will debut August the 1st, but you got a little bit of a taste of it right here. If you happen to enjoy this episode or any episode that you've heard thus far, just follow me on ColeSportsWithAZ.com. That's ColeSportsWithAZ.com. You can check out my room. You can check out VIP Speak. You can check out Why You Got a Mind. You can check out shirts and merchandise. All of that and all of my social media platforms are on display at ColeSportsWithAZ.com. And if you want to get at me, email me at Cole@ColeSportsWithAZ.com. I will answer what you put forth, and I'll be glad to receive whatever question you may have. But if you want to reach me for real, all you have to do is go on to ColeSportsWithAZ.com. That's ColeSportsWithAZ.com. I said that is Cole Sports with a Z.com. And it doesn't matter, VIP, where you listen to me, how you listen to me, or when you do. Just do this one simple thing. Just one. And that is to enjoy the content. For the Intelligent Sportsman, I am Cole Johnson, and this is Cole Sports!
You've been listening to Cole Sports with Cole Johnson.